Chapter 11. Better Angels.
Lauren! Lauren! No! Lauren!
Free from the seatbelt, he lunged forward again. Just an inch short, he froze. Finn wanted to reach out both hands to shake her awake, but he didn't. He'd seen too much death in his life. He knew she was gone. It was her eyes. There was nothing in them. There was only lack. A loss of light. An extinguished spark that would forever leave the world darker. The realization broke through his panic denial and released a far stronger force. A soul-deep reservoir of pain. Finn started gasping for air. His head dropped, and tears fell faster than the blood dripping from the branch. Even though his eyes were squeezed shut, the tears could not be contained. They flowed so violently, his tears threatened to turn into blood themselves. Between his shock and loss, he didn't feel any of the bruises forming over his entire body. The emotional pain could not be ignored, lava burning through him, smothering every joy he had nurtured, consuming every dream he had built. He almost descended into a place that could have broken him, maimed his heart in a way that could never be healed. Finn shook, eyes wild, gazing upon love that would never gaze back. Insanity called, a temptation he would not resist. Then he heard it, her sweet voice. Somehow, from her still lifeless face came a simple message.
3 promises.
Those last words, that she could not have spoken, changed the course of his fate. Those words saved him from a darkness that would have devoured him. The next words he heard brought him to a light he would extinguish.
Help!
Came the soft cry.
Christ, is anyone there? Help me!
The sound of a car horn blasted out, 2 times short, then 1 long. The words were soft, barely audible, and easily missed, especially with the concussion Finn was suffering. He took a last look at the body that was not Lauren, and then finally touched the side of her face. Using his thumb, he rubbed away a single speck of blood from her crimson-covered skin. Finn took a deep breath. With a shaky, pained exhale, he murmured,
3 promises.
He would do his best to keep them. Looking out of the windows, initially he couldn't see the other car. And the large crack in the windshield didn't make it any easier. He found the source, though. There, about 30 yards away, a hover truck was tipped over onto its side, braced against another tree. The front was half crumpled, and small flames burned on what was left of the hood. The hover capabilities must have failed after the collision, because only the back driver's side still remained off the ground, and at a bare 6 inches at that. From the scrapes all over the truck's body, it looked like it had flipped over, and that the driver was lucky enough to end the tumble with the vehicle upright. That was who was calling for help. It took less than 3 seconds to assess the scene and recreate what had happened. He did it all with clinical detachment. When he heard the voice call out again, something inside of Finn shifted with an almost audible click. The driver was calling for help. The driver that had hit them was calling for help. The driver that had killed the love of his life was calling for help. Finn bared his teeth.
Okay,
he thought with venom.
I'm coming.
The bottomless pit of pain Finn had been falling into shattered as he was enveloped in a far more familiar emotion. Rage. Finn struggled with his car door, his clumsy fingers and addled brain not able to manipulate the latch. Every second he was denied his revenge, his anger flared hotter.
Help? The man wanted help? After taking everything from him, the man dared to ask for help.
I'll help you, you son of a bitch. Don't you fucking die. I'm coming.
Finn struggled to open the door. He had to fight against it, the collision having deformed the metal slightly. After slamming his shoulder against it twice, though, it popped open and he basically fell through it. The change in position made him dizzy again, but his fury kept him from being sick.
Finn collapsed out of the car and crawled free of the wreck. He barely slowed. Even as his hands ground against shattered glass, he didn't pause. The gashes carved into his palms went unnoticed. Only one thing mattered, and that was helping the man in the other car. Finn got to his feet and promptly vomited. A moment later, he could barely see, a bout of dizziness and blurry vision threatening to take him down. It even looked like there were words in his field of view, like a hologram. After rubbing his eyes hard, though, he focused on just being able to see clearly, and the image faded away. He balled a fist and started walking towards the truck. He imagined slamming his knuckles into the face of the driver. He snarled faintly, imagining the shock on the asshole's face after the first hit, but that expression wouldn't last long. Not after he slammed his fist down again. And again. And again. There wouldn't be a face left. This fucker had taken Lauren from him, and he was still squealing and crying like a little bitch. It was time to put him down. Just before he marched over to commit murder, he looked inside the SUV again. His gaze fell upon Lauren's face, her beautiful, blood-spackled, perfect face. The light of the setting sun caught the diamond ring on her finger, pulling him into a memory. A memory only weeks old. The day she'd agreed to marry him. He'd been so nervous, he'd rambled on for minutes, while she just struggled not to laugh at how nervous he was. She knew in her heart how much he loved her and how long he'd been working up the nerve to ask. She was amazing like that. She'd never pushed or forced. She just loved him for who he was. She was also a bit of a dick, though. He'd said once that she was the most wonderful dick in the world. It had been months before she'd stopped torturing him about that one. That day, though, she just guided the ring to her finger and then paused.
I don't ever need you to be perfect, and I know you've done things you regret in the past. I accept you and love you for all of that. And I'll marry you if you just promise me one more thing.
He'd started nodding like a bobblehead, but before he could speak, she placed a single finger on his lips and looked at him seriously.
Will you promise to do your best to be a good man in the future?
Sensing the seriousness of her question, and knowing how his anger had governed him too many times in the past, he'd stopped nodding and really thought about her words. With all the truth and love in his heart, he'd answered,
I'll do my best.
She'd slipped the ring on her finger, then kissed him deeply. After several breathless, heaven-filled seconds, she'd pulled away and gave him her perfect, crooked smile.
That will always be enough for me.
Then she'd given him a nice light slap, and with more than a bit of snark, added,
But that's three promises you owe me now, Evers.
The memory banked the fire inside him. His wrath didn't diminish, but he regained control of it. His memory of Lauren and her years of love let him encapsulate the anger. It burned in him now, not through him. With that convenient feeling gone, his pain and loss flooded back to the forefront of his mind, and a sob forced its way out. Tears fell once again, but it was almost like he could hear her voice. She was telling him that someone was suffering, and that they needed his help.
Okay, baby. I'll do my best.
Grinding a fist across his eyes, he clenched his jaw and started limping towards the truck. Whoever was inside was still calling for help.
Someone has to be out there, please. I can't die like this. Not now.
Every plea for help fed the anger inside of Finn. It almost felt like he was going to be burned from within. His jaw was clenched so tight his teeth ached. Bile tickled the back of his throat and every breath came out in a strained huff. He wouldn't give in to it, though. He would hold to his promise. He would honor Lauren's life by trying to be the man she had loved, not the monster she had saved. Finn crossed the street in a pain-filled stride. After a series of agonizing steps that made him wonder if his ankle was broken or just merely sprained, he reached the truck. The two men caught sight of each other at the same time. They were about the same age, both in their mid-30s. That was where the similarities ended. The man in the truck was white, with short, cut blonde hair so pale it almost matched his skin. The outside and inside of the truck were pitch black, and his silk shirt was the same darkness. The kind of dark that clothes can only have before they were washed. A simple gold ring was on the middle finger of his left hand. He wore designer jeans that were bloodied and stylish black leather shoes. None of that said as much about him as his face. Green irises flashed, set in eyes reddened from his pain. To Finn, it looked like they resided within a face that seemed accustomed to arrogance. His nose was sharp, coming to a firm point. High cheekbones hovered above sparse lips and a strong jaw. His face looked too thin, but not in a sickly manner. More the visage of someone with neither fat nor large muscles on their frame. It was also the kind of face that probably got him more than a little attention from the ladies. If Finn was inclined to be honest and impartial, he'd have said the man was beautiful. But as it was, the refined features just pissed him off. As Finn stared at the man who had killed his love, the man he had come to save, he was observed in turn. Cutting off his cries for help, cold emerald eyes stared at his would-be rescuer. He saw a black man with light brown skin. Short curls hugged a strong face, with thick lips and a broad nose. Brown, almost amber eyes stared into his own with a fierce intensity. He could see anger in them, an emotion he himself was well versed with, but also pain. The man's face had a cut down one cheek, and bruises forming around both eyes. The only other thing he could see through the window was the man's bloodied shirt. It was emblazoned with the logo of that game, the land, and was tied across his broad chest. In the instant after they took each other in, both arrived at nearly the same conclusion. They didn't like what they saw.
Pompous pretty boy, rich shit.
Muscle-bound nigger peasant.
Neither said it, but even without the horrific situation they were in, they most likely would have taken a dislike to one another. The pause only lasted a few seconds, but it was long enough for the man in the car to scream,
"Help me!"
It came across more as a command than a request. The fires of anger grew stronger inside Finn, but he didn't let it break beyond his control. Instead, he took stock of the situation. The truck had slammed into their SUV, and it had crumpled the front of the vehicle. The small fire was still there on the hood, but it didn't look to be getting larger. If Finn remembered correctly, the fuel cells that powered these hover cars and trucks were much more stable than conventional engines, so there shouldn't be any immediate danger. The downside was that they held more energy than a fuel engine. The man in the truck was trapped because the steering wheel had bent down enough to trap his legs. The driver's side door was also blocked by the tree the car had rolled into. To get the guy out, Finn would have to go through the passenger door, work him free, then pull him out. It would take work, but it should be doable. The man was luckier than he knew. Geneva would have automatically called 911, so help was on the way. In the meantime, this asshole had just happened to run into an ER doc. The man apparently didn't realize his luck, because his next words lacked even the pretense of grace.
"What are you waiting for? I'm hurt, and you're just standing like an idiot. Let me make it easy for you. Get me free, and my family will reward you. You'll have enough to buy a t-shirt that actually fits. Just help me!"
Gritting his teeth, visions of beating the man to death flashed through Finn's mind, but he controlled it, instead grabbing the door handle. It was locked.
"I'm trying to help you, asshole," he spat. "Unlock the door."
"My name isn't Asshole. It's Yarini Lotus,"
the man spat back as he pushed a button. The anger flared again in response to Yarini's arrogance. It threatened to even push away Finn's pain, but he wouldn't let it. He'd fulfill his promise. He would save this man's life and honor Lauren's memory.
"I'm going to be who she wanted me to be," he thought.
I'm going to be a better man. I'm going to...
The door opened, and a small item fell to the street with a clink. Finn's eyes tracked down to see what had fallen. In that moment, everything changed. A small, crumpled beer can lay at his feet. Looking inside his ruined truck, Finn saw several more and a large bottle of scotch with a crack running down the side. The man had been drinking. He'd been drinking when he'd hit their car. He'd been drinking when he'd killed Lauren. He'd been drinking when he made the world a darker, colder place. He'd been drinking when he'd stolen the most important thing in the world from Finn. Finn's reason was consumed by fire.
Burn.
A voice seemed to echo in his head, both soft and intense. A voice that was both part and apart from him at once. The anger that had been a bonfire inside of him suddenly shrank. Not like a dying ember, but instead like an implosion before a nuclear blast. In that moment, he was left cold and empty. In that moment, he finished his last thought, but this time said it out loud.
I'm going to kill you.
The words came out with calm certainty. There was no rage in it, no false bravado. It was just the cold inevitability of death.
Burn,
he heard again. This time it felt like the voice came from both the anger burning inside of him and the fire burning on the hood.
Yes,
he agreed silently, giving in to the voice completely. The anger he'd been holding back exploded. All the walls he'd struggled to build, all the love Lauren had placed within him, all the promises he'd made, they were consumed in a single glorious release. The air filled with the roar of a newly born predator.
Die!
On a level both lower and higher than conscious thought, Finn accessed his mana for the first time. Following the guidance of the ability tied to his soul, it poured into the receptacle that matched the fury boiling through him. An interface appeared in his vision, but he barely even noticed when his blue bar bottomed out. It just felt so good to be free. Each point of mana that fed into the flame on the hood made the fire grow larger. Not only larger, but hotter. So hot that the fuel cell was compromised, and an explosion enveloped them both. Yerini had just enough time to see the small, hand-sized flame turn into a 5-foot-tall bonfire, and the colors shift from dark red to orange. Then the cell exploded, releasing a cataclysm of blue hellfire. Time seemed to slow down. It was like Finn could perceive the ball of flame and force exploding from the hood. He could see Yerini's terrified face as it screamed. He could even see the ripples on the man's cheek as the impact wave reached it scant milliseconds before the fire melted his eyes and made the air in his lungs catch fire. The explosion reached Finn a bare instant later. Though his mind could not register what was happening, much less understand it, he felt something reaching out to him. In this strange state of altered perception, he thought it must be death itself, a just reward for an oathbreaker. He welcomed it with all of his being. The waves of the explosion struck him. While the force remained unabated, the flames themselves were partially consumed when they got within a foot of his body. What remained was not the bone-melting white-blue, but simple red-orange fire. Windows appeared in Finn's vision, washed out by the bright light of approaching oblivion. He didn't even register them on a conscious level before the shockwave knocked him out. The world turned black, and he welcomed death with a smile on his face.
See you soon, baby.